على رسوله الكريم. Continuing with beliefs, today we do belief number 13. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a bodily state whilst awake from Makkah Mukarramah to Baytul Muqaddas, and from there to the seven heavens, and from the seven heavens to wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken back to Makkatul Mukarramah. This journey is known as Mi'raj. Very important that we should have this aqidah that the journey of Mi'raj, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken, it was in a bodily state. It was not in a dream, or it was not in a spiritual state. It was in a bodily state. Belief number 14. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain of His creation from light. They are concealed from our gazes. They are known as angels, the farishtas. We have not been informed whether they are masculine or feminine. They have been entrusted with many duties. They never do any action contrary to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst these, there are four that are very famous: Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, Hazrat Mikail alayhi salam, Hazrat Israel alayhi salam, and Hazrat Israfil alayhi salam. Belief number 15. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain of His creation from fire. They too are concealed from our gazes. They are known as the jinn. They are righteous as well as evil doers amongst them. So amongst the jinnat, they also have the righteous and the evil ones, just as in human beings. They also have offspring. The most famous amongst them is the evil Iblis, that is Shaitan. Belief number 16. When a Muslim worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refrains from sin, does not possess love for the world, and follows the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he becomes a friend and beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a person is called a wali. From such a person, certain acts are at times manifested which cannot be done by others. This is referred to as karamat. So the miracles which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam perform with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are called mu'jiza. And if this happens at the hands of a wali who is not a nabi, this is called karamat. Belief number 17. Even though a wali may reach a very lofty status, he will never equal the status of a nabi. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the sixth para was recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the sixth para with the ayat, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem, La yuhibbu allahu al-jahra bis-su'i min al-qawli illa man zulim. Translation of which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the open expression of evil talks, but for that person who has become a victim of injustice. For him to disclose the oppression which had been perpetrated upon himself, this will be permissible with the intention that others may safeguard themselves from that oppression which he has suffered, and so that the oppressor can also be restrained from further types of oppression. Explanation of this is that evil talks, what is meant by evil talks, which Allah Ta'ala doesn't like, that they must be disclosed and they must be made public. Under that category are all types of lies, backbiting, slandering, all types of such evil talks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that these things must be, open expression of these things must be made. Because the reason for it is that it disturbs the tranquility and the peaceful nature of any society, because it will give rise to rumor mongering, to suspicion, to mistrust, and to have evil thoughts for others. So these things are not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. The link between this verse and the previous discussion mentioned at the end of the fifth para, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. These things are the traits of the munafiqeen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like this. So we are warned that these things are not supposed to be part of our lives as mu'mineen. These things we should completely abstain from them. The very next verse, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, إِن تُبْدُوا خَيْرًا أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. That if you have to disclose or to conceal any good, or you forgive any of the wrongs which have been done upon you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. So here the encouragement is given to practice high grounds of morality, that even though a person has been wronged, he should forgive. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is most forgiving. When you forgive others and conceal their faults, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah forgive you also and conceal your faults. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of those who are the actual kuffar, who are the kafirin actually. They are those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also His Anbiya alayhimus salam, or those who make a distinction between Allah and His Rasuls. In other words, they believe in Allah, but they don't believe in the Rasuls. They are also the kuffar. And the third type mentioned here are those who say that we bring iman on some of the Anbiya alayhimus salam and we reject and deny others. These are also the kuffar. So the Ahl-e Kitab particularly, they believed in their own Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, they believed in Allah, they believed in the year after, but they did not believe in other Anbiya alayhimus salam. For example, the Jews, they refused to accept the Nabuwat of Isa alayhi salam and of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Or the Christians who refused to accept the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّا. These are the true kuffar, they are the actual kuffar. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention concerning the Jews, their absurd demands which they had made to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Jews, as we know, are an obstinate nation. They refused to acknowledge the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam out of jealousy, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam, who is the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whereas the entire chain of Nabuwat of the Bani Israel, they were born from the other son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from the progeny of the other son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that is Ishaq alayhi salam. Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born and before the advent of Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these Ahl-e Kitab, they were waiting in anticipation for the last Nabi and thinking that this last Nabi will come from our progeny. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born amongst the Arabs from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam, the Ahl-e Kitab, they refused to acknowledge Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Nabuwat on the basis of jealousy, that why was he not born from our progeny. Anyway, they did not want to accept, but to justify their refusal to accept, they made absurd demands from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah ta'ala makes mention of one of them. They said, يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. That O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked you that you must bring down for them a scripture from the heavens which they can see with their eyes and they can feel with their hands. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was obviously very distressed by such demands. Allah ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you don't have to be so distressed by these absurd demands, because these Jews, they have made even more audacious demands from their own Nabi. And this is the habit. This is not that you have been singled out in this in the treatment which they are giving you. فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. From their own Nabi Musa alayhi salam, they had even made more audacious claims and demands. And they said, فَقَالُوا أَرِنَا اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. And they demanded to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right in front of them with their own eyes. When they became so audacious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted a group of them with punishment. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّائِقَةُ بِظُلْمِهِمْ. Because of this wrong of theirs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a bolt of lightning and about 70,000 of them were killed right on the spot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many of their transgressions, these Jews, their malpractices, their evil, their obstinacy, their rebellious nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are the ones who got involved in the worship of the calf. When Musa alayhi salam went to fetch the Torah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for a period of 40 days he was not there, and they became involved in the worshipping of the calf. Allah ta'ala says, on that also we forgave them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a pledge from them that they will be obedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also, they transgressed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then raised the mountain of Tur over their heads, and then they were forced to say that they will obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then too, they continued with their transgression. Another incident is mentioned here, when they were told to enter a city in a state of bowing down, but to make a mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, they dragged themselves on their buttocks and entered that city. This is how they played around with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were told to honor the day of Sabbath, Saturday. But they also, as will come later on in the ninth para, how they made different ways to try and go around the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones who killed many anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. When they are told that why don't you accept the truth, they say that qulubuna ghulf, that our hearts, there are veins of our hearts, we don't understand what you are saying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all these things concerning the Jews, which shows their rebellious and obstinate nature. This is how they are. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of, again, as mentioned in the previous, in the third para, that they refused to accept the nabuwat of Isa alayhi salam, and they even tried to kill him. And but Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. They did not kill Isa alayhi salam, nor did they crucify him, but instead they were cast into a state of confusion, that one of their own men was made to resemble Isa alayhi salam, and they killed their own men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah ta'ala lifted Isa alayhi salam bodily to the heavens and safeguarded Isa alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that this was the condition of the Jews, but some amongst them, those who are rasikhuna fil ilm minhum, those who are firmly grounded in the proper knowledge of the Torah, and they are the ones, for example, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, who was a scholar of the Jews, but he accepted Islam, he and some others, Allah ta'ala makes mention of them, that they are not amongst these type of Jews who are accursed. They are the ones who have brought Iman. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the deviation of the Christians, and also the absurd belief and doctrine of Trinity. That is, that they believe that there are three gods, and three is one, and one is three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تقولوا ثلاثة. Don't say that there are three gods. They regarded Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Isa alayhi salam, and the third one, either Maryam, Isa alayhi salam's mother, Maryam, or Jibreel alayhi salam, to be the third god. Allah ta'ala says, intahu, refrain from saying such things, this is better for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one ilah, subhanahu an yakuna lahu walad. Allah ta'ala is pure from having any children. Allah ta'ala then explains to the Christians that even Isa alayhi salam is not ashamed to be the servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He regards it to be an honor to be Abdullah, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he himself is regarded to be an honor to be Abdullah, then how is it that you have attributed divinity to Isa alayhi salatu wa salam? The next surah, the four rukus are mentioned here of Surah Nisa, and then Surah Al-Ma'idah is mentioned here. This is also a Madani surah. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many laws and regulations of Shariat which have to be revered and have to be upheld. And also the discussion is also mainly concerning the Jews and the hypocrites. More concerning the Jews, mention of it has been made already here, but quite a bit is mentioned in this surah also, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then invites the Ahl-e-Kitab to the deen of Islam, the deen, the true deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. That all those who believe, those who have brought iman, fulfill your pledges. The ulama explained that there are three types. One is that pledge which each person had made even before he was born in alam-e-barzakh with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is technically called ahd-e-alast, where Allah ta'ala asked, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? And each one affirmed that bala, that most definitely, oh Allah ta'ala, you are our Rabb. So we have to fulfill that pledge and recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be our creator and be obedient to him. The second type of pledge is those type of pledges which a person makes with himself. That is a promise a person makes to himself in the form of a vow or a commitment. A person, as long as it is not against the laws of Sharia, he has to fulfill it. And the third type is that which a person makes with others in the form of any contract, in the form of any monetary contract or even marriage comes under this category. We have to fulfill those contracts, and those that don't fulfill these contracts, they are being disobedient to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah ta'ala makes mention of those type of animals which are halal and those that are haram for us to consume. Shariat has placed great emphasis on halal and haram, particularly that we abstain from consuming anything which is haram. Haram is such which is not only detrimental to our physical health and body, but it also affects our deen, our behavior, our character and our morals. So it is very, very important that we are very conscious of what we are eating, and at no time should we even go near to anything which is doubtful and which is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of those animals which are haram, that is carrion, blood, the flesh of pigs, those animals which are slaughtered not in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all animals which die such deaths which are not through the normal means of slaughtering. For example, they fall from a high place, they die in a collision, they are beaten to death, or wild animals attack it and then they die. These are animals which we cannot consume. Concerning the Sha'airullah, the distinguishing landmarks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala also gives the command that don't show any type of disrespect to the Sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those things which are clear signs of Islam, in it will be our adhan, our masajid, our particular way of dressing, the beard, all these things are such which are the Sha'airullah. So these things, no type of respect, disrespect should be shown to them, because this causes great harm to oneself. Later on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that don't befriend those people who make a mockery and a joke and poke fun at the sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anything associated and clearly associated with the deen of Islam. Don't ever befriend them. This will be very harmful to you. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a great principle for the betterment and progress of society. That is, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. That help and assist one another in acts of piety and righteousness, and don't help and assist one another in acts of sin and transgression. So this is a very important principle for the betterment of society also, that we see that what we assist one another in, what type of assistance we are rendering. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the verse, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This verse was revealed on the occasion of the Hajjatul Wada on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafat, which was a Friday also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that today I have perfected for you your deen, and I have completed upon you my favors, and I have chosen for you the deen of Islam. After this verse was revealed, no other verse was revealed containing any new injunction or law of Sharia. Because Allah Ta'ala has declared in this verse that we have completed and perfected for you your deen. Hardly 80 days passed after the revelation of this verse, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then left this world and passed away. So this is not the last verse which was revealed, but it is. After this, no new verse concerning any new injunction was revealed. There were other verses that were revealed after this verse, but they were not such verses which contained any new injunctions of deen. So the climax of divine revelation, which started from Adam alayhi salam, reached its pinnacle and its climax at this point on the day of Arafat. A Jew once came to Umar radiallahu anhu and told him that if this verse was revealed upon our Nabi, we would have made that day a day of Eid, a day of celebration. Umar radiallahu anhu replied, I know very well when this verse was revealed. It was revealed on the day of Arafah, and it was a Friday also. In fact, he told him that it is a double Eid for us. Friday is the Eid for the Muslims, and also it was the day of Arafah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many rules and regulations. One is of hunting, with hunting animals. What are the rules and regulations? The food of the Ahl Kitab, marriage to the Ahl Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, what are the rules and regulations are all outlined here. The masail and the injunction of wudu, of tayammum, and of ghusl are also explained here, which shows the importance. In the previous para also it was mentioned, which shows the importance Shariat and Allah Ta'ala is attached to acquiring purity, that before standing in salat in front of Allah Ta'ala, we have to be in a state of purity, external purity as well, and we should worry also about our internal purity. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention again of the Jews, the pledge which Allah ta'ala had taken with them, and how they had transgressed and gone against that. Many, many ayat of this nature are mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions of two incidents. One is when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell his nation to enter the Ard-e Muqaddasah, the sacred lands of Sham and Palestine, which was the actual homeland of the Banu Israel. But it was at that time inhabited by a disbelieving nation, who were the Amalika, a very powerful nation outwardly. But Allah Ta'ala told them that enter there and they will retreat, and you will enter there victorious. But the audacity of the Jews is mentioned here, that they saw the outward power of this nation, not realizing the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that very easily you will overcome them. And they had the audacity of telling Musa alayhi salam that, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَاعِدٌ. You go and your Rabb go and fight. We just staying put here, we not going anyway. The result of this was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them deprived of the sacred lands of going there and conquering them for the next 40 years. And for 40 years, the Bani Israel were kept wandering in a valley called the Valley of Tea. And for 40 years they just remained wandering in a state of confusion in this valley. It was in these very 40 years that Musa alayhi salam also passed away. Harun alayhi salam also, who became the Nabi after Musa alayhi salam, he also passed away. And anyway, later on, in the next generation, then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them out of the state of bewilderment and let them enter the Ard-e Muqaddasah victorious. The other incident is that of Adam alayhi salam, that and his, of the sons of Adam alayhi salam, the two sons Habil and Qabil. And Qabil, he killed his brother Habil out of jealousy. The incident is lengthy that why he killed him, but the point here is that he killed him out because of jealousy. And it is the link between the previous verses is that the Jews also refused to accept the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the basis of it also was jealousy. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the rules concerning stealing, theft, and also highway robbery, and that how evil the sins are, and the harsh punishment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated for such evils. And a person must not think that these type of punishments are in any way barbaric and not applicable in our times. No, because of not implementing these rules of Sharia, that is why we see that the entire world is virtually in a state of anarchy when it comes to crime, when it comes to stealing and all those things. If these types of punishments which Sharia has stipulated, they are executed and they are applied, then for a few, at the expense of a few, nations and nations, thousands and millions of people will be able to stay in a state of peace and tranquility. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again makes mention about the Jews and the Christians, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that never befriend the Jews and the Christians, because they are friends of one another, and you are the common enemy. Concerning that, previously we had explained that to what extent can we have any dealings with the Jews and the Christians, that was explained in detail previously. Because friendship with these people, bosom friendship, could lead a person towards apostasy, that is irtidad, and turning away from the deen of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ, whoever turns away from his deen and becomes a murtad, don't think you can harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the deen of Islam in any way. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of you. Allah Ta'ala, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ, Allah will raise another nation. They will love, Allah will love them, and they will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be soft and gentle towards the mu'mineen, and harsh upon the kuffar, and they will make jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will not be afraid of any criticism of anyone who criticized them. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. This is the grace and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala blesses anybody with iman, any nation with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give this grace to whomsoever He pleases. Further on, towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of a logical reason in response to the belief of the Jews, of the Christians, who believe Isa alayhi salam and his mother to have the quality of divinity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ, that both of them, Isa alayhi salam and his mother, were human beings. They used to eat food. They were in need of food for their survival. And we all know in this world, whoever consumes food, he is in need to relieve himself also. So how illogical it is that those that have to eat food and need food for their existence and survival, and yet you attribute divinity to them, how illogical this is. And in the last page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these Bani Israel, particularly the Jews, they were accursed on the tongues of their own Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Dawood alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam had cursed their own nations because of the ذَلِكَ بِمَا أَصَوْ وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ, because of their transgression and because of their exceeding the limits laid down where they transgressed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were accursed. And in the last ayat of this para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that comparatively the Christians are closer to the Muslimin compared to the Jews. The Jews are very hostile and have great enmity for the Muslimin, but comparatively the Christians are not of that nature. The ulama explained, by here Christians is meant those who really adhere to the teachings of Christianity. They are not so hostile and have so much enmity for the Muslimin as the Jews. We all know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin, when they were persecuted in Makkatul Mukarramah before the hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, they went to Habsha where Najashi the king was ruling, and they were all Christians, and they gave the Muslims refuge in their country. So concerning them it is mentioned. The Christians of today, most of them, the majority of them, are hardly Christian in the true sense of the word. They are atheists, just regard themselves to be Christians, because they no way they are practicing on the teachings of the Injil as has been outlined in the Injil. So concerning them, we see them that today they are extremely hostile to the Muslims. It is not contrary to what has been mentioned here, because they are not Christians in the true sense of the word. Those Christians who were truly Christians in those era, Allah Ta'ala says that they are comparatively, compared to the Jews, they are closer to the Muslimin and they are not so hostile.